Hi, my name is Taffy, and I am a compulsive overeater. Back in the 90s, there was this great band, The Cure, and they came out with this song, "Friday I'm in Love." And there was a phrase towards the end of the song that said, "Always take a big bite, such a gorgeous sight to see you eat in the middle of the night." Now, I can tell you, to the bottom of my soul, that song was not about me, because there was nothing gorgeous about me. And well, the eating in the middle of the night and the big bite, but the gorgeous part, no. I ate with both hands. I was a believer of the 3 second rule. If it hit the floor, you could eat it within 3 seconds, or if you kissed it up to heaven. And another reason that song could not possibly have been about me is because I was a really, really secretive eater. I was married for 18 years, and my husband did not know that I had an eating disorder. My psychiatrist ran the eating disorder clinic at Herrick Hospital, and he did not know, and neither did his predecessor. I was completely isolated. And after I divorced, I was really, really isolated. And I moved into an apartment, and I pretty much just binged and purged and binged and purged. And then the pandemic happened, and it was awful. I was getting food deliveries here from different food places, from different, services twice a day. We'd have Uber Eats, and then we'd have DoorDash, because I didn't want them to know, and then I'd go out to the store. And it was really, and it was just me and my cat and my toilet. I'm bulimic, and it was really bad. And the more I ate, and the more I binged, and the more I purged, the more inward everything was just like, it was like this black hole, being created right here. And I was becoming more and more just into myself. And I was a black hole. I mean, I stuck my head up my butt and became a black hole. I sucked everything. I sucked up relationships. I sucked up friendships. I sucked up school. I sucked up everything, And I'm so glad that the pandemic brought us together with Zoom, because there's no way I would have showed up at a meeting. There's no way that unless I got this food thing, I got this low bandwidth with things, so I'm gonna turn my video off. Unless I got this food thing under control, I wasn't gonna get sober either. And it got real, real bad. And so I did come to a meeting, but I struggled for about a year and a half, because I would hear things in the meeting like, "Oh, you skinny people, you don't understand. Oh, you bulimics have it so easy," and everything. In the meantime, I'm throwing up so much that the roof of my house mouth is rotting away. I'm going through extensive dental work now, because my throat is completely, it's all scar tissue, and there is nothing but bone and a tiny bit of skin on the roof of my mouth. And it was it, but I felt like, well, they're telling me I haven't suffered enough. And so, and I really, really struggled. And I struggled so much, I ended up in intensive care on life support. And I was all those horrible machines beeping, and they would shoot me up with morphine to put me out. And it was like 5 days of absolute, I felt a presence, and I thought it was an angel or something like that. And I asked, "Am I gonna die?" And the presence told me, "I don't know." That's how close it was. And so when I came back and started going to meetings and everything, I started really taking stuff serious. And I realized, that that was a spiritual crisis. It had nothing to do with my body weight. All the science hippies, they did all these like tests on people who were dying, and weighed them to see if there was actually some weight. And our spirits don't weigh a thing, and that's the part of me that was so sick. And so I started really, really, really looking at the steps and working a program and listening past the things that pissed me off, about what people, had to see, and listen to the spiritual part of the program and not compare. And so I started getting it, And I started being able to stay abstinent. But I remember when my spiritual life really, really took off, and it was on my 60th birthday, and I was riding my skateboard like any other normal 60-year-old woman. I was riding my skateboard in downtown Oakland. And I was riding right around, I was feeling great, and so I was riding around, and I came across this rat in a gutter, and it was barely alive, and it was on its side. It just looked up at me, and I looked down at it, and I felt so bad. I mean, this poor little thing is just there in the gutter. It's obviously suffering, and it's like in Oakland, and nobody's ever really given much thought. And it's just like looking at me, and I'm like, going, well, I can't help you. I can't touch you. I can't hug you. I can't give you CPR. I can't go get help for you. I don't know what to do. So I'll pray for you. And so I was standing there in a gutter in Oakland praying for this rat. Just God, nobody loves this thing, and I don't particularly love it, but it's suffering. Please, just whatever. And it's just like, it was just like this something happened to me where I just completely backed away, backed away, backed away. And I could just see little me. And it dawned on me, if I could pray for a dying rat in the gutter of Oakland, I could pray for people that my worst enemies. I could pray for people that got on my nerves. I could pray for my own recovery. If I could pray for that rat, I could pray for my abusive parents. I could pray. And for some reason, that was a point where my spiritual growth just really started taking off, and my life started taking off. All kinds of miracles were happening. I'm having a hard time talking. My mouth still hurts. I'm getting a lot of stuff done. But this prayer thing really, really worked. I stopped having to white knuckle in between meals. I could just let go of it. I could, it's hard to describe, but I can tell you, I'll share one thing with you that was really cool. I had this neighbor, and she moved in next door, and she does not speak English, and I do not speak her language. And she moved in with a kid that's really loud and really obnoxious and everything. And the thing is when I walked past her in the hallway, she was like glaring daggers at me. And of course, I glared daggers back at her. It was kind of like a face off at a boxing event or something. And even her husband kind of like got between us. And that kid would go, and I'd start seething and raging at her, and I was a jerk about it. I would back my piano up against the wall, play scales at 8 o'clock in the morning, and stuff. And it got really bad. And one night I heard her screaming, she's got it, something, she's not all there, and stuff like that. And so I'm just even getting more and more mad at her. And a couple of days later, I saw her, and she had two kids. She had a newborn. Apparently, she'd gone into labor that night, that she was screaming, and I was seething, and I didn't do anything to help her or even think about her. I felt terrible, and I remembered, reading Freedom from Bondage from the Big Book. It's this gem of a story in the back of the Big Book on page 544. And in it has this little prayer, saying, no matter who, no matter how mad you are, you pray for that person, you pray for everything that you want for yourself, and just pray, and it'll just work. And I thought, okay, well, this is a good chance to do that. And God, please bless them, give them health, give them, happiness and everything. Well, the weirdest thing, about like 2.5 weeks later, just like it says it would in the Big Book, I popped my head out because I heard a commotion in the hallway. And she started waving at me. And she's got her little kid's head hand in hers, and she's like waving at me. And I mean, I just got back into my apartment. I'm like, what just happened there? Because nothing had changed. We don't talk, we don't, or anything. But and I'd still get annoyed at her kid in the middle of the night. But and she still does. She's like waving at me. That could only be the power of that prayer. That is, because that's the only thing that was different. I didn't say anything, I didn't do anything or anything. I just said that little prayer that I was taught on, let's see, page 552 in the big book, and it worked. And that's all I really can share right now. Thank you so much.